That's why I went through what I went through. What happened, happened, because God had a plan. Wow. This blows my mind to think about that. Some of the stuff that we went through and stuff that we've done that we thought we was doing and we thought we were just blowing it, but God had a plan. After all, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just pray tonight that you will use me to your glory and that you will get yourself some honor. It is so. So it is and so shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. The title of our Bible study tonight is, We Wrestle Not Against Flesh and Blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Make no mistake about it, we do wrestle. We do wrestle. One of my friends sent me a text not too long ago while I was sitting in the office, and he knew nothing about the message. But he sent me a text and said his son wrestles in high school. He said his son won his wrestling match. And here we talk about wrestling. Well, you're going to win your wrestling match, too, after you hear this word tonight. You're going to win. Watch and see. But you got to wrestle. If they tell you you're not going to wrestle, they're lying. They tell you you're not going to go through nothing, they're lying. Liar. Just call them liar. When they say you're not going through, they're liar. Straight up, just say liar. Jesus said, in this world, you should have trials and tribulation, but be of a good cheer, he says. For I've overcome the world. I've already been through that. You've been through. I've got your back. You're going to wrestle, but you're going to win. You'll be like Jacob. You might have to wrestle with this thing all night long. But hold on to this angel when you grab him. And don't turn loose. Make him fight back. Yes, sir. Keep on wrestling. You're going to win. You're going to get some strength, too. You're going to learn some stuff. Ephesians 6 and 10 is where we're headed. Ephesians 6 and 10. Amen. We must have turned the AC on today or something. It's on. Man, I'm kind of a little hot here. Maybe it's just me, huh? Yeah. Ephesians 6 and 10. The writer says, finally. Finally. I hear some pages still turning at me and try to get there, okay? Ephesians 6, 10. The writer says, finally, you've done everything that you can do. You've tried it your way. You've failed this way. So he says, finally. You've been beat on this side. You've been beat on that side. Finally. It's a comma there, y'all. Don't run past it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord. Notice there's a comma right there, too. Be strong in the Lord, comma. Not in yourself. Be strong in the Lord, comma. Be strong in the Lord. You got to get in the Lord to be strong in the Lord. That's why I'm a big advocate of prayer and fasting. I'll keep saying that till Jesus return. Matter of fact, John's disciple said, well, wait a minute, why are we fasting and Jesus' disciples not fasting because Jesus is with them? But when Jesus leaves, they're going to have to fast too. So Jesus, after he was raptured, then his disciples had to fast too. So you're going to be fasting. You need some strength. You're going to have to hit the gym. Otherwise, you're not going to have no strength. It's just that simple. You'll be beat up every day. Just keep the bully or keep kicking dirt in your face. Like that little bully at the beach. It used to be in that little magazine where they see this guy on the beach, he lay on the ground, this bully just come by and kick dirt in his face. Unless he hit the gym, he's going to keep getting beat up. But that little fella got him and hit the gym. Well, I suggest you get up and hit the gym too. Don't that bully going to keep walking by your house, keep coming by your job, keep coming, waking you up in the middle of the night and kicking dirt in your face and want nothing you'll be able to do about it because you have no strength. And he don't mind you feeling like it if you ain't capable of doing it. See, when you ain't there come to fight against you, he's hoping for two things. One, you feel like it, but you're not prepared. And the other thing, you prepare, but you don't feel like it. You got to encourage yourself in some time. Listen, man, I done studied the word. I done read the word. I done fasted and prayed. I don't feel like fighting today, but you know what? I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. I'm not going to let him take this. Mm-mm. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. You got to you can't be talking about, no, leave me alone. No. No, you got to tell him, no, I'm not doing that. You know, that's another thing I think about back in the day when the Lord was delivering me and set me free. I remember I had to cry out one time. I had to yell out. The enemy was in my head telling me to do something I didn't want to do. And I was in the building by myself. And I said, no. He ain't bugged me no more. Because he mean that. I ain't doing that. Have you gotten to the point where you cried and said, no? No. See, you trying to do it in your head. Well, notice I use the word you because it's a personal thing. Take it personal. You're trying to do it in your head. You got to open your mouth. No! Oh, he's old women. All right, okay. All right. You ain't got to say it like that. Okay. That's all right. Then he'll leave you alone. But if you keep whispering, trying to, I'm just going to do them. Just leave me alone. Here he come again. Just trying to think in your mind. Just don't bug me today. Just leave me alone. Leave me. No, you got to say, no, I'm not in for that today. No, you're not doing that. You'll see him do it. Oop, turn around, going back to their desk, or going back. Well, the enemy will leave you alone. But you got to open your mouth. Anyway, here he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In the power of his might, not your might, his might. Not your might, his might. Then he says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, that you may be able to stand against the tricks of the devil. You thought that you did some of the stuff, you just were going to do it anyway? No, the enemy tricked you. Wait a minute, you thought you just, I can't believe I blew it again. Man, I can't believe I made that bad decision. I can't believe I made that mistake. He tricked you. The wiles of the devil. He tricked you. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. So how can we not be ignorant of his devices? Well, there go our communication with the Lord. Let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost, who's my friend, I hope he's your friend too, but the Holy Ghost, the Lord says that he's going to tell you whatsoever he sees, he's going to tell you. He's not going to testify of himself, but whatsoever he sees, he's going to tell you. So if the Holy Ghost sees something that the enemy is willing to pull on you, he's going to let you know. Some of us, we go into stuff, we know what the answer is going to be before we walk through that door. Even if we go home to a good argument, we knew it was going to be an argument before we got there. The Lord started dealing with us before we got there. Don't say that. Don't do this. Don't say that. I got to tell him. I got to tell her. Get on through there. Let me tell my supervisor. Go ahead. Let me go do, maybe spend money on him. I don't trust him, but I'm going to buy this anyway. But the Holy Ghost telling you, don't buy it. Don't spend the money on him. Man, don't say that. Woman, don't say that. You go and say it anyway. You know what? You're in a good fight. But the Holy Ghost has already told you, don't you do that. We call that also quenching or grieving the Holy Spirit. When he's trying to warn you, don't do that. Don't do this. Do this. See, all of us have different levels. So that's why we shouldn't pick on one another. You ain't on my level. But wait a minute, you ain't on my level. You know, we pick on each other in the church or in Christ Jesus because the other person not where we think that we are. But truth of the matter is, we're on different levels. But no matter what level we on, the Holy Ghost deals with us on those levels. Oh, yes, he does. Yeah, he talks to us on that level. May not be as clear as I hear, but as clear as you hear. Lord, the Lord know how to get your attention, and he gets your attention. Well, do you want to do something with what he's telling you or not? That's the question. Will I be obedient or not? You know, sometimes we're disobedient. But when we are obedient, we see the results of the Lord. Because the Lord will warn us about that pit they dug for us, and we'd be sitting over there watching them fall in their own pit. Look at them. They dug that for me. They done forgot where they dug it at. You sitting there watching them fall in their own pits. Yes, sir. You'll laugh at them. Matter of fact, the Lord said that he would laugh at their calamities. God laughs. God's he going to laugh at them. So them wiles of the devil. All right, watch it. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means that stop fighting the man. Stop fighting the woman. Stop fighting the girl. Stop fighting the boy. It's not a human thing that you're fighting against. It's not human. So if it's not human, how are you going to defeat it? You can punch him all you want to. It's a spiritual thing. It's not flesh and blood. You can, the enemy can use him. Notice I didn't say he does it. I said the enemy can use him to do something. You hate him. But he's not the one that done it. It's the enemy that used him. That used him. So guess what though? If you really want to hate something, you hate the enemy that used him. It's the spirit that used him. My pastor used to always say, Lord, whatever you do, don't let the devil use me. Well, he used him. So will you forgive him? You got to forgive him because the enemy used him. And you ain't careful, he going to use you too. Against somebody else, against somebody close, somebody on your job. The enemy will use you. And he loves to use people that close to each other. Because, you know, some of us, we got such a shield up about us. Can nobody can get to us. Matter of fact, we hang out by ourselves. We walk by ourselves. Except for those few people in our little circle. And those little people in our circle is the one he used to stick us. That's why it hurt so bad. That's why it hurt real bad. Because we let nobody else in. I don't talk to nobody else but you. Well, guess what? That you is the one sticking you. That you, the only one you let in. So your prayer to the Lord, don't let the enemy use me. And listen to the Holy Ghost. Don't be so ran to get into all types of conversation. Pray when you hear these things. Something you ought to be praying about when you hear. Because you know the enemy is using somebody to attack somebody. You may be part of that party. The Bible says you ought not be quick to run to shed innocent blood. Man, they done this to you. Hate him. Wait a minute. Now I can see he got a problem with him for what he done to him. But what you hate him for? What's your excuse? Because he told me what he did. Wait a minute. Now this man never done nothing to you. And how you know he's telling the truth? move on, Greg. But anyway, listen. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Watch this. In verse 12, watch this. Against this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 time against. Against. That means you're wrath against it. You're wrath against this. You're wrath against that. It's spiritual things. Back to fasting. You got to have to fast. Some strength. Look here. Because that's what you're wrath against. And the enemy hopes you say, well, you don't take all that. You don't need to do all that. Okay, well, don't do it. And get you a Band-Aid to put over your eye because you're going to keep getting that black eye. Don't do it. Just don't do it. But anyway, but you're going to have to because you need to protect yourself. You need to protect your family. You need to protect your finances. Don't you know that's the enemy uses some people. They smooth, too. Well-spoken, they say. Intellectual, we like to say. Gift of gab. Yes, sir, they'll talk you right out your dollars. So, as you ask the Holy Ghost, did you ask the Holy Ghost, Lord, am I supposed to invest in this? Am I supposed to buy this for this price? Am I supposed to give this to this person here? Wait a minute now. Oh, so you don't ask that. You listen to them. All right, listen how sweet he sounds. Okay. I was talking to a man today, and he was a well-spoken young man. And the conversationalist. And he was telling me about his trouble, but he was telling me some other things. And so I started asking questions. in my mind, talking to the Lord while he was talking to me. See, I want to help him do some stuff, get him out of the position he was, get him off the street, see. I want to help him get into a place, but he was saying some good stuff and listening to him, but I started asking the Lord, should I be helping him? Why? Should I be doing that? Finally, the man said, all right, man, let me run on and do this in, man, so I can ride on down here. That was my answer. The Lord didn't tell me to help him, but I wanted, because when he started telling me his story, the compassion went out to him. I really wanted to, see what I can get you a place, man. Let me get you a hotel, or let me get you an apartment. Let me do something for him. But I was praying while I was listening to him. But the Lord didn't tell me to do it. So I started asking him about his questions, about his things he was into. Then he said, oh, yeah, I used to do that, but I ain't done. See, ask the Lord. Ask him. The enemy will take care. Listen, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Whatever it is that is pertaining, whatever it is that pertains to you, the enemy will attack. Whatever, if it has to do with your house, it has to do with your future, it has to do with your job. Ask the Lord about your job. And if the Lord gave you a job, don't you know the enemy can't take it? No matter what he does, but he'll make you tremble, and he'll upset you and make you walk off. I quit. Man, I quit. Every time I tell that story, I tell that story about me. How many times I tell it? I always think about the time I told the supervisor how I felt and where he can stick it and take it. Boy, I went home and almost starved to death for the next 3 months. Yes, sir, what a sucker I was. But it felt good telling him. Got home and look at him. And the thought occurred to me. He said, I heard it clear. Fool, how you going to feed yourself now? How you going to pay the bills now? That's what he said. Fool, how you going to pay the bills now? I'm already struggling, but I told the boss where he can go. I felt good telling him now. Getting on my nerve. Hey, you don't know who he's dealing with. Don't get it twisted. Went home almost starved to death. Couldn't even find a job for about 3 months. Couldn't find a job, and the job couldn't find me. Hey, I learned. Sometimes it's good to bite your tongue. If you don't have no teaching, you might bite your tongue. You might want to carry a pair of pliers around. Squeeze your tongue. Don't say it. I know you feel like saying it, but tell the Lord, because if the enemy can't fire you, then he makes you quit. He can't make you move off that spot. So, look here, he makes it miserable for you, and all you need to do is to tell the Lord, and the Lord will give you peace. Listen here now. He says, watch this. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to, verse 13, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 14, he says, stand therefore. I'm just standing here. God gonna do the rest, and he gonna do something? No, the Lord just told me to stand. I'm just standing and waiting on God. I've already prayed about it. I already talked to it. Look at it. I'm not. Vengeance mine, says the Lord. He said, I will repay those wicked men. You shouldn't be taking vengeance out on nobody else. That's the Lord's job. If you cuss him out, you got your vengeance. If you told him about a piece of your mind, your vengeance is over. You slapped them, well, that's all they're getting. Don't have to worry about God coming behind and adding nothing to them, because you have already done the work. You've already done it. But when you hold your peace, the Lord will fight your battle. He will perfect that thing which concerns you. Got to take care of that. The hardest thing for us is to hold our tongue and let the Lord do it. Wait on God. Keep on praying. The best way to do that is do what I also do, is pray for somebody else. Man, still I'm laying up all night long praying about what they're doing to me. I'm laying up praying for somebody else. That's God's job. I'm crying. Oh, God, you see what they're doing to me. Oh, God, you see they coming out. Man, I'm praying to ask the Lord to help him. Man, I done went to sleep. Oh, dadgum, I forgot to pray about what they were going to do to me. What they said they were going to do to me, should I say. because God is going to take care of me of that. God take it. That's his job. No, no, no. She has a need. Let me pray for her. Let me not lay at the altar 2 hours crying about my situation. That's God's job. But he says, listen now. Having your lungs girt about with truth. Do you have the word of God in you? If you do, then you have the truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. That gospel, let me tell you something. The word of God will bring you peace. When you speak the word of God, when you know the word, and you speak the word of God, this peace instantly will come on your mind. You can be trouble. You can be peace. Peace. Wait a minute, wait a minute. Why my mind going like this? Wait a minute. Wait a minute now. The Lord is not giving me the spirit of fear. What am I afraid of? What I'm shaking for? God is not giving me the spirit of fear, but of love, but of power, and of a sound mind. Why am I sitting here shaking and trembling for? Oh, then I would say, wait a minute, wait, you got to catch yourself. What I'm doing? Relax. You all right now? You move on about your business. Wait a minute, I am not taking that. Let me tell you something. Perfect love casts out all fear. Not some fear. All fear. Your mature love with Christ will cast out all your fear. Your mature love for Christ will cast out all your fear. Learn some more about God. You'll walk stronger than man, please. When you realize and understand who God is, is and what he's capable of, you won't walk in that kind of fear. He is the only God that can tell the ocean, stop right there. Listen, it's so deep ocean with all this water, it can't go no further than there. You don't see no walls, just sand, and it has to stop. It can't go another inch. How powerful your God is. I told you he hung the moon without a string. But you got to see what he done to the Red Sea. He just parted it down the middle. And his people went around on dry ground. We talked about that one Wednesday when we got kind of into it and we slowed it up. I seen something I'd never seen in all the days I was in church. The Lord took the wheels off their chariot. Man, listen, that thing blew my mind when I saw that. Not only did he part the Red Sea, caused an angel to stand here with flame until his people got halfway across, almost crossed, got out there, but he let the chariots run in like they were going to catch him. God will make your enemy think he's going to put his hands on you. And he let them get way out there where they couldn't turn around. He let all of them get in there, too. That must have been mighty deep. All of them down there. Wait a minute, two more. Left, come some more. Wait a minute, one more. Get them in there. Is everybody out there in the sea? Deep in the ocean. All right, now take the wheels off their chariot. So they can't turn around. I'm going to drown them. He said, these Egyptians you see today, you will see them no more. That's how your God works for you. Well, if he did it for them, you don't think he'll do it for you? You don't know him. See, when you get to know him better, you trust him. You trust him. It's lip service now. You trust him. You be like Job. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know he lives. I'm sick. I got these sores on my body. I lost my children. I lost my house. Look at these oozing sores all over me. My friends are sitting down here accusing me of sinning. They ain't trying to comfort me. Job, you must have done something wrong, Job. Ain't no way you can be going through what you're going through, Job, without you doing something. Come on, Job. You know we do it in the church. Give the people the benefit of the doubt. maybe you innocent. And the Lord allowed him to pick on you because you know what? The Lord is bragging on you. He said, have you considered my servant Job? The enemy wasn't even thinking about Job. Because he knew God had a hedge around that what belonged to him. So the enemy said, yeah, I've been out there to and fro seeking whom I made a vow. So God brought up Job's name. Have you considered my servant Job? What if God is bringing your name up? Have you considered my servant, bleep, whatever your name is? Huh? But Job, he didn't even get mad at God. He said, man, look at me. Look at my situation. Look at all my sorrow. Look at all I've lost. But he said, but I know my Redeemer lives. I know he lives. His wife was telling him, won't you just look at your body? Look at you, Joe. Look at a mess. Scabs all over you, pus all over you. So curse your God and die. Curse your God and die, Joe. She was in love with her husband. She wanted to get him out of misery. If you perhaps you cuss him, you'll just go ahead and die. He'll just move his hand and you'll die. Joe, I can't do that. I know that my Redeemer is living in the latter days. He's going to rise up. Huh? I ain't cursing. I'll just have, hey, if I'm sick, it's because he allowed it to be so. I don't know what purpose. Job stayed in a repentance mode and a confession mode. He didn't stay in a self-righteous mode. See, when we go through, we get self-righteous. I didn't do this, and I've always done this, and I've done this, and I did it this way, and I've done this for him. But Job stayed in a confession and a repentance mode. The Lord taught me something years ago, and when I used to go through some stuff, and he taught me this, to say this. I said, Lord, I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through, but don't let me go through it just to be going through it. Let me get a blessing out of this. If I'm going through it, Lord, let me get some anointing for this. You let him kick me, and I can't attack him, but give me some anointing to lay hands on the sick. Give me some wisdom to speak to the brokenhearted. But don't just let me go through. Now, Lord, if I'm wrong, I repent. I confess. I said, Lord, I confess. If I'm wrong, I repent. If it's something I've done, I don't know I've done it. See, but we stick our chest, and I ain't done nothing. See, the enemy, he'll hold something back on you. He won't tell you. Hold it for a while. When you get self-righteous, talking about what you ain't done because you can't remember, he shows it to you. That's why you say, Lord, I don't know what I've done. See, I may have made a mistake. I may have made a bad decision. Didn't do something I didn't know I did. Did something I didn't know I was doing. So, Lord, I repent. The Lord taught me to do that, see? So I said, Lord, I repent, Lord, because that's a reason for him doing what he's doing. Either you're allowing him or maybe something I've done. Now, if you're allowing him, like I said, I got to have some anointing out of this. Let me understand some words some more, Lord. I said, Lord, wait, give me something. So, but don't just let me go through just to be going through. What do you ask the Lord for when you go through? Do you cry all night? Or do you say, Lord, open my understanding that I might understand the scripture? What do you say, Lord? Lord, listen, can you place your healing balm in my hand so I can go lay hands on the sick? What do you ask for? What do you ask for when you go through? Or do you just say, woe is me? Woe is me. What's that song? Nobody knows the trouble of me. Look at it. What do you do? See, we have to change the spirit of complaining to the spirit of thanksgiving. You know, I was before I came in tonight, I got this call about somebody sitting on the corner in a wheelchair, either drunk or mental. And so just when I got ready to get off, and I went by, and this guy was punting at him, but help me, Holy Ghost. But the one that was pointing at the person that was covered up with the rag or towel or whatever that was, a blanket over the head, I was wondering about them. You talking about they out of their mind. I'm talking about, what about him? So anyway, I said, what? All right. I talked to him. All right, what? Listen, but I took my flashlight and I shined on this person sitting in this wheelchair. And I saw the state that they was in. And they said they were just getting out the rain in a wheelchair with a blanket. And then something I'm not even going to tell you, you wouldn't be able to handle it, so I'm going to leave that part alone. But Sister Leticia knows what I'm talking about. I ain't going to get into it. But they were sitting, and it was curled over, and this blanket was over their head. And they pulled the blanket out, and they said, pull that blanket out, let me see. You know, make sure they ain't drunk. And they pulled it out. It took them a while to get it off over their head. And I said, what are you doing? What, you get out of the ring? Yeah, I just get out of the ring. I said, what's in your hand there? Oh, a dollar. And I said, all right, well, okay, leave him alone then. He's just getting out of the rain. What are you doing? They said, I'm getting out of the rain too. I said, well, all y'all get out of the rain then. Leave him alone. You know, the bus stop. But watch this now. And I started talking to this officer after that. Watch this now. We are complaining because we don't have the car that we would really like to have. We don't have that nice bed that we saw when we peeked through the window of the furniture place. The shoes that we got on is not as nice as somebody else's shoes, we think. And a house may not be as fancy as somebody else, but this man is sitting in a wheelchair with a blanket with some stuff on it, nasty stuff on it, pulled over his head at a bus stop to get out of the rain to wait so he can roll at 6:30 in the afternoon. And you got something to complain about? Oh, come on. You got to see somebody else's situation before you start complaining. You got to see it. You complain about your feet. What about the men that have no legs? Sometimes we say that, but it doesn't register. That's why we need to get out and go and look and see. See, we don't want to look at stuff like that. Part of society, they'll send their dollars, but they won't come. They don't want to see that. I gave to the charity. I gave to the mission. Well, give your time. Come down so you can see, so you can be compassionate. And if it was not for the grace of God, there go I, sitting in the same wheelchair, in the same condition, getting out of the rain with a balled up dollar in my hand. See how God protects us? To whom much is given, much is required. So if God gives you a sound mind, get to prayer and pray for somebody else. Show mercy and kindness so somebody else quit crying over your spilled milk. We cry over stuff, and they are much worse than we are. Come on, man. God kept, listen, he kept your mind intact. He kept your mind sound. So if he kept your mind intact, that means that you have the sense to care for him. That means you can cry out. You don't have a reprobate mind where your conscience is seared and you don't have the sense to care for God. But your mind is free so you can cry out. But instead of crying out for somebody else, you're crying out about your things or what this little fellow is doing to you. Lord, you see what he's doing to me? No, you move on. No, move on. God allowed him to do that. I ain't worried about that. God allowed him to do it. Let me talk to him. I don't have time for that. Man, did you hear what they said they were going to do to you? Whatever. Like I said Sunday, there's no weak men or women in God. There's no weak men and women in Christ Jesus.
The Bible said the fearful and the unbelieving shall not see the kingdom of heaven. When you come in Christ, you don't come in and become a wimp. You come in because of strength. It takes strength to carry this gospel. I told you, I've seen people in my job, and I think, look, I don't thank God for this situation, but I thank God for what I've seen. I've talked to men, and I tell you what, they don't have the sense to care for God when they lay out there on those streets. They wish. Their mind given over to a reprobate mind. Their conscience appears to be sealed. A seared, like somebody take a hot iron and just burns their conscience. And they don't have the sense to reach for God. And then this is what they say. Some of those who got good jobs.
If I ever get saved, I'm going to be real. I'm not going to play with God. I'm not going to play church.
What he means is I don't have the strength to come. I know I'm going to falter. I know I'm not going to love him like I should because I don't have the strength. You have to have strength when you surrender your all to the Lord. You got to have some strength when I say, listen, I am putting myself in your care, Lord. The songwriter says, my life is in your hands. Here I am. It takes a man to do that. But you see a guy walking around with his chest stuck out. Those are men. Mm-mm. It takes a man to say, Lord, how can I do that? How can I help her? It takes a woman to be submissive to her Lord. This woman was so submitted that she walked in with all she had was a box of oil. The box of oil, that's the price stuff. She walks in. She don't own it. It's nothing else. But she got this box of oil. And it's all she got. And it's very expensive, see? And she, listen now, she could have sold it and got her a fancy dress. She could have sold it and got her some nice shoes, maybe a chair or something, a fancy house. But she walks in with this oil, this expensive oil, and she walks over to the Lord and Savior, and she pours out all that she has. She pulls it out on his feet. And she started, come on, she anoints. Hey, wait a minute now. This woman, listen, it's going to be spoken of her wherever men, when they speak about this, how she prepared his body. Wait a minute now. All she had, she pulls it out. It takes strength to care for somebody else, so much so to you forget about you. Mothers do it all the time. Some of the good mothers, some of the hurting good mothers, especially when we was coming up in the hood, and you could see some of the women that we hear about. Thank God my mama never done it, but some mothers used to, they would go to bed without eating so their baby would eat. And the man, he working out there, so they said, well, I'm not going to eat because he got to go to work and he needs some meal, something on his stomach. So I'm going to just feed them, and I'm going to feed my husband, I'm going to feed the children, and I'm just going to go to bed. Ooh, talking about love. Man, please. These women nowadays talking about whatever. Hey, as I eat, then y'all have something. He can get it himself. And why I don't have nothing? Where the money at? No. It takes strength to walk in humility. It takes strength to love someone else. The power of love. Listen, if you have God, then you have love. Because God is love. So you have to let him flow through you. That's part of his strength, flowing through you. Loving somebody. I didn't say sucker either. That's why I said, ask the Lord what you're supposed to be doing for somebody else. Give them $500 if you want to in the Lord and tell you. You won't be seeing them no more. You ain't fighting in the church. You have to get Minister Henley and get you out of here. Break it up, Henley. They jump across the pews. But listen to me though. Ask the Lord. But it takes a strength to follow Jesus. The songwriter said, I have decided to follow Jesus. I decided. Nobody made me. He said, I have decided to follow Jesus. Nobody put a gun to my head. I'm not phony, not fake. I'm not religious. I decided. I made that decision. My will. The most powerful thing God had ever given me was a free will. Maybe somebody gave me something to drink up here, but the most powerful thing the Lord gave me was a free will. And here I am giving it back to the Lord. God himself will not violate your free will. He will not make you do anything. It's for serving him, he won't. Now, he makes the enemy your footstool. If you're the enemy of God, he'll make you a footstool for somebody else. So if you don't want to serve God, you want to be an enemy of God's children, God will make him you their footstool. I don't want to be nobody's footstool. But he'll make you the footstool, enemy. If you're unsaved, you're the enemy of God, he'll make you the footstool. Yeah. Yes, sir. He'll make you bless him. You bless my child. You only know why you're blessing him. Here, let me bless you with this. I don't know why I can't stand you, but here you go. I remember the man that helped us out do these lights and the man that helped do this electricity when it was, oh God, the price was so high. And me and Brother Avery were together, and I told him, don't say nothing. And the other man called and told us the price. It was so astronomical, the thousands. I said, don't say nothing. It's going to work in our favor. I said, don't say nothing. It's going to work in our favor. So watch what happens. So the Lord sends us a man by to do electricity. And he comes to do our electricity. Watch what happens, y'all. This is what he says to me out of his mouth. Standing right there in the front back there. See, we couldn't get this air conditioning in here unless we had some more electricity coming back here. And we couldn't get the air conditioning over there either. We couldn't even turn the sign on. There had to be some work. So watch what happened. Me and Minister Avery, we were riding together. And like I said, and I told him what the other man told me about the price on the phone. I said, wait a minute, we trying to knock our head off? Man, we just started. We just a few months. Don't say nothing. Don't worry about it. It's going to work in our favor. Watch and see. So this man shows up to help us out, the electrician. And he walks and he looks. This is what he says. I don't go to church, and I don't believe. But you know what? I like you. He said, man, I like you. I couldn't get rid of him. He hung out for 2 or 3 hours, walking behind me, telling me stories and asking me questions. He knocked all those thousands of dollars off and put this electricity in their room and there for the air conditioners. And then I called him up and said, man, when he was through with the air conditioners, I called him up and I said, man, you know, I just want to know how you're doing. I don't need nothing, don't want nothing. Don't need any electricity. I said, I just called you to see how you was doing. He said, man, I'm so tickled that you would call me. He said, how the church going? I said, well, we got to get the carpet. We're hanging sheetrock around the walls. I said, we got to go sheetrock in the ceiling. And I said, we got to get lights to go up there. He said, what? I said, we got to get lights up there. He said, you know what? Tell you what, I might be able to help you with that. He said, how you want them lights? I said, well, you're the electrician. I tell you what, you just tell me. I had an idea now. I said, you just do it, and all I want to say is, wow. He said, man, if I can get them 3 words out your mouth, ooh, I'd be tickled. Long story short, this man that don't believe, don't go to church, came in here and put these lights in free for us. He will make them give their stuff to you. I'm going to go help him. He said a little cussing stuff he said. I ain't interrupt him.
Man, don't be cussing like that. I ain't say that. He said little jokes. I ain't saying about that. Because he know what I stood it for. He said, man, how you want these lights? He said, you know what? This is what I'm going to do for your lights. I started laughing because that's how I wanted them. Just that they are dimmable. The canister lights. See, God will take care of that for you. Then the enemy, he'll make him bless you. But he's not going to make the enemy serve him. So that free will you got, God is not going to violate it. So your strength, you says to yourself, God, I trust you so much until I left my keys. I said, Lord, I trust you. Got some keys. He said, anybody got some keys? Let me show you something. He said, Lord, thank you. Man, you ain't got many keys. My goodness. He said, Lord, well, what, 3 or 4 keys? Boy, you got to get some more keys. A little old brown key, too, man. You got to get some keys. But anyway, he said, but you say, Lord, I trust you so much until here's the keys to my life. Here's the keys to every avenue of my life. The key to my house, the key to my marriage, the key to my health, the keys to my children, the keys to my finances, the keys to my future. Here's my dreams. Here's my desires. Here's my hopes. Here's all the keys to me. That's when you do when you say, I surrender my will to you. Here I am. Do what you want to do with me. Here it is. You want to lock me out of this? Lock me out of it. You want to let me in? Let me in. You want to lock this door so I can't walk in it? Then lock it. You want me to go through that door? Then unlock that door. Make a way for me over here and I'll go over here. But here my life is. My will I give to you. That's what you got to do. That's strength to do that. And to stay there, you got to take on the whole armor. Because the enemy will do some stuff to you. Man, take these little keys back. And the enemy, thank you, Taurus. But the enemy will do something to you when you don't have the whole armor on to make you reach back and take them keys back. Lord, you can have the key to my house and all that stuff. With my marriage, I need them keys back. Give me back. My finances, I need that key back. Not my child. I need those keys back. Listen, when you start going through, I need the key back, Lord. But you need to put that whole armor on, and you'll be able to stand and leave your life in God's hand. You won't stake it back out. He says, listen now, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, I told y'all that faith comes by what? What? That's right. Hearing the word of God. The more you hear the word of God, the more your faith should increase. Now you got to be doers of the word, not hearers only now. Deceiving yourselves. See, once you hear the word, now you got to put some action to it. You got to do some doing. You got to apply the word. If you don't apply the word, it ain't working. And you got to get word time to work. You can't say, okay, I put the word on here. It ain't work yet. How come? Elijah told his servant, it's going to rain. He said, I don't see no rain. I don't see no clouds. He said, go look. He said, I don't see no clouds. Elijah said, go look again. I don't see no cloud. He said, go look again. He came back and said, all right, finally I see a cloud. But it's just about the size of a man's hand. Elijah said, you better get down. It's going to rain. And it rained. It grows. You keep using the word. After a while, it grows. It grows. It grows. It grows. It grows. You keep on hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and blind and grow. Boom. We said, wait a minute. I can see it now. It ain't taking that much for you. Just one little word, and you can build a city off that one little word. You can run to Jesus. One word. He said to Peter, one word. Come. Just one. And he stepped out on water. See them songs that y'all were singing? The man who walked out on the water. Just one man that y'all sung about. No, two men. Peter walked on the water. He told Peter, come. Lord, if that's you, he said, bid me to come. He said, come. And Peter walked off that one word. He walked on the water until he started looking at stuff he had no business looking at. That's when he started sinking.
Put your arm on so you stop doing that. Put that whole armor on. The whole armor. Put it on. And you'll be like Peter. You'll keep walking, but you won't be there like the other side of Peter, where you start sinking. When you take your eyes off Jesus, just start walking. But watch this here now. He says, verse 17, got to get you out of here. Time is ticking away. He says here, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always. See, I'm not the only one to say pray all the way. See that? Praying always with all prayer and supplication. You got to cry out. In the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Remember I just told you praying for somebody else? Listen, I'm going to read this. Philippians 4 and 4. Turn there. I got to get you out. Philippians 4 and 4. I'm excited about the Lord. Let me say this while y'all turn to Philippians 4 and 4. You know, God got a sense of humor. That's one of the reasons why he allowed us to start this church while I still have a job and still working long hours, still raising a family. He allowed us to start this church. So you can't say, man, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how tired I am, man. I work. Man, this is my work, man. Lord, Pastor, you don't know. I worked 11.42 hours today. How many of you were? Eight? What time you got there? Four? How many hours you work? Two? Some of y'all was off. So don't give yourself an excuse. God is not a respected person. He'll strengthen you too. Well, listen to this here. Philippians 4 and 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation. He said, let your calmness, your self-control. That's what that word means. Your calmness, your self-control. He said, let your moderation, let your calmness be known unto all men. Let your self-control be known to all men. He said, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Then he goes on to say, finally, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Our Bible says it say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Rest in the Lord. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we glorify you. We praise your majestic name. Thank you for allowing us, Lord, to rest in you, Lord, in your peace. Thank you, Jesus, for reminding us that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but that we need you every step of the way. Lord, and strengthen our armor tonight. Strengthen our armor tonight. We thank you for the word. Bind it about our neck like a yoke. Cause it to come alive in our lives. It is so. So it is and so shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand.